host Mark Levine. I believe I have on the line Garland Nixon.
I believe it might just be me, Mark.
It is you. I am here live in the studios of WPFW downtown Washington, D.C., working as we approach Labor Day weekend while Garland's off on some vacation somewhere.
Yeah, I'm down here in Myrtle Beach, Mark. I am, believe it or not, I am about to do something really, really stupid. I'm going to get on a boat and go many, many miles out into the ocean attempting to catch fish and to avoid dropping from the top of the food chain to the bottom.
Yeah, don't go swimming with the sharks, Garland. I don't recommend that. We got a very important topic today. By now, many of you have probably seen the video of a 9-year-old girl with an Uzi submachine gun on a shooting range in a desert in Arizona. Her family decided to take a little vacation from Las Vegas. They're from New Jersey. They're in Vegas. And there's this wonderful tour where you go out with your family, with your little kids, and you can shoot all manner of weapons, not just the kinds that are legal, like handguns and semi-automatic or assault rifles, but even fully automatic machine guns and, get this, grenade launchers. Now, we didn't actually see the girl shoot a grenade launcher. But there is a video released by the Mojave County Sheriff's Department that shows the little 9-year-old girl, and most 9-year-old girls are relatively little, and she's got this military-grade weapon, this automatic weapon. She shoots one bullet. The instructor then puts it on fully automatic, and then you see the gun tilt up. The video stops just before she shoots her instructor dead in the skull, and he kills over and dies a few hours later. I don't think the video is gruesome enough, frankly. I don't think the Mojave County Sheriff's Department should have withheld the actual shooting of the instructor. I think this should be a lesson to us that guns are not a toy. The ranch allowed kids as young as 8 to play with these machine guns. And my question for you, Garland, is do you think that this finally will be a moment where the gun nuts recognize that they've gone too far? Or is this just going to be seen as just another fluke? Oh, well, 9-year-old with an Uzi, no big deal, nothing to see here.
Well, I think that their answer will be the solution is more guns. And the only reason I believe
give the instructor a gun to shoot the 9-year-old girl.
That's
before
it. That's right. We need more people with Uzis because their answer to every question is more guns. So why should this one be any different? It's, you know, the idea, I don't know, Mark, maybe I'm strange, maybe it's just me, but the idea that it is a form of recreation to give a machine gun to a 9-year-old girl seems a bit awkward, maybe, as a term.
I mean, why not let her drive a tank? Wouldn't that be more fun? I'd rather drive a tank than shoot a machine gun. I mean, that'd be a lot more fun.
Maybe wrestle an alligator. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, that's a real challenge. Or maybe put a kindergartner behind an F-16 and, you know, see what buttons they push and let them try to fly.
I mean, you know, right off the bat, the first thing that, when I saw this video, the first thing that popped in my mind was, well, you put a machine gun in the hands of a 9-year-old child. What could possibly go wrong there?
You know, I hope nobody blames this little girl. I mean, this little girl is probably going to be terrified and horrified for the rest of her life. I'm sure she won't touch a gun again, and that's good for her. But let me ask you, Garland, do you think the Mojave County Sheriff's Department should have released the entire video, including the part where she actually shoots him and he falls on the ground with, you know, blood coming out after his skull's been blown into pieces? I think they should have shown that. I think it would have been a good lesson. I actually think they're censoring by not showing this gruesome video. I know they're trying to protect us, but we shouldn't be protected when this kind of stuff is legal in America.
I think that there are two sides of the argument, and certainly from the perspective of this is the reality of what can happen with these types of weapons, they should have. But the other side of me does say, you know, this guy has a family, and maybe, you know, it may really freak the family. You know, if he has a wife and kids or something, I can certainly understand that it may totally freak them out if, you know, they are turning on the TV and this video's on.
You know,
5 minutes.
When James Foley, the American reporter, was beheaded by ISIS, I approved of the media not showing the beheading. I thought that was proper. I thought it played into the terrorist's hands to show the gruesome gore of it. I'm glad they did not. But in this case, I guess I feel the opposite. I feel like people need to know that these are extremely dangerous weapons that should only be handled by professionals and definitely not handled by 9-year-old children. And I think it might have been good. You know, for the people who actually clicked on it, I probably wouldn't even watch it. Well, no, you know what? I don't know. Maybe I would. But at least it would show people that guns are not toys. If you saw this brochure for this place, the Burgers and Bullets, it was called.
Yeah, Burgers and Bullets.
Isn't that cute? What a great Burgers and Bullets. You know, take a bite of the hamburger and shoot somebody, and then get a Whopper with cheese, and then go out and mow down a bunch of people. It's Burgers and Bullets had a brochure. And it was great. You could go visit the Hoover Dam. You could go look at the Grand Canyon. You could launch a grenade. You could shoot an automatic rifle. Get your 8-year-old to do it. You could go back to Vegas. I mean, yeah, there's a lunch provided. All these things as if they're all the same, all normal.
Yeah, you know, and it's a discussion that you and I have had. And I think I heard the president actually say something down that line, and that is, when you have the types of attitudes that you have in our country about guns, you know, it's just a matter of turning on the TV or looking on the internet. These are the types of incidents that you see all of the time. You know, there are a couple of websites that you can go to that will show these accidental shootings, and most people don't know. Every day, when I go online, it's a 5-year-old found an unattended gun and shot himself or his 4-year-old sister. You know, there was a guy the other day that was showing they were drunk, he was showing his gun to his brother, shot him in the head. You know, it's like every single day there are people around the country who are fooling around with guns one way or another, and they shoot somebody and, you know, they're killed. So this is an instance where, because it's a 9-year-old girl, we focus on it and pay attention, but this is happening all the time, every single day in America, and it has to do with the attitudes that we have towards guns. Like, they're no different than a person who collects guns is no different than a person who collects, you know, rare
stamps.
Coins or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, it's interesting because this particular incident was not even the first case of this. There was an 8-year-old boy who, 3 years ago, ended up shooting himself. I mean, I guess of the choice between the girl and the instructor. Well, I don't want to say, but let's just say I'm glad the girl wasn't harmed.
Right, right, right.
But
she was
innocent
party involved.
She was. And an 8-year-old boy from Connecticut was on a gun range, had an automatic weapon. These things have powerful recoil. I'm told as I read about it that they're light. They're only about 8 pounds, so they seem like a toy because they're designed to be carried by soldiers in wartime. But they have quite a kick because they shoot 10 rounds a second. And yep, that power of shooting 10 rounds a second means you better hold on to your gun tight. And if you don't know what you're doing, or you don't have the upper body strength to hold on to that gun, it was absolutely foreseeable that this would happen. In fact, it has happened before. As I said, an 8-year-old boy just a couple years ago died. But you're right, Garland. The automatic weapon may be relatively rare. That only happens every couple years. But 2 children in America die every single month from guns, by accidents, and 1.5 million American children live in homes with loaded, unlocked weapons that they can reach. Loaded, unlocked weapons, not in a safe, that their parents, and I hope there are, if you are listening to our voice right now, you live in the Washington, D.C. area, Baltimore, Northern Virginia, and you have a loaded weapon and you've got children in the home, please, immediately, don't put it on a high shelf and think children can't climb on a high shelf. Get a gun lock, or better yet, for the moment, just completely unload your weapon. Store the bullets in a completely different place. You've got to. You have children. You care about your children. You love your children. You've got to protect them from this.
You know, and even thinking of that, remember the Sandy Hook incident when Adam Lanza,
that's
where
true,
the mother had the guns in the gun safe.
That's
but
right.
Let's face it.
But he knew the combination.
A teenager is going to figure out a way. He's just standing behind her and watches her when she's opening it one day, and she's not paying any attention, and boom, he's in it. And if you remember that, one of the things that the mother did in that instance was she bought these assault rifles, and her son went to the gun range.
That's
to
right.
Together.
That's
to
right.
Bond.
To bond.
So she had a mentally unstable son, so
right,
she bought an assault rifle to go to the range and bond with him.
To bond over shooting at targets that strangely are shaped like human beings. What a
right,
bonding experience, isn't it? To
yeah,
shoot at pretend human beings together.
Yeah, and I don't know, you know, and I guess of all things, being down here in South Carolina, this wouldn't be real. This conversation wouldn't be very welcome, you know, but it just sometimes it seems to me like there is a level of rebellion. You know, right now we've got people down here I've seen on the internet where they put these black smokestacks on their trucks so they could belch out extra smoke as a way to, you know, kind of like give the finger to the liberals and Obama who are saying, you know, that, you know, who are against air pollution. Do you kind of get the feeling sometimes that there are those who go overboard with guns almost in a way to kind of, you know,
compensate for inadequacies in their lives, perhaps?
Or kind of to give the finger to the liberal establishment who's saying, hey, these things are dangerous. You know, kind of just like a pushback kind of thing.
You know, Garland, it's fitting that you're in South Carolina because I want to report to you on a story that's only 2 weeks old. It's the end of July, July 28, 2014, from North Augusta, South Carolina. Listen to this, okay, because it also involved a 9-year-old girl. All right. A parent, an African-American woman by the name of Deborah Harrell, had a difficult time taking care of her kids. She had to work in a McDonald's. She had to make enough money to feed her kids. So she went to the McDonald's and she left her daughter at a jungle gym at a park in the summer where there were other parents and other kids around. She left the girl there for several hours. Okay. It was discovered that she left her 9-year-old alone in the jungle gym. Again, not quite alone. There were other parents and kids around. She was arrested. She spent 17 days in jail. She temporarily lost custody of her girl, thought she lost her job, and still faces 10 years in prison if convicted of felony child neglect. All right. This is a woman in South Carolina. What did she do? Again, I'm not saying it's a good thing that what she did, but what she did is she had to work. She couldn't bring her kid to work. She left her kid alone in a park in the daytime with her other parents and kids around. She faces 10 years for child neglect, but the parents who took their 9-year-old to shoot an Uzi on a gun range in Arizona will face no charges.
That's a good point, because the first thing, another thing that popped into my mind when I found out about this incident is, you know, what about the parents? There's no mention of the parents. There's no mention of the issue of not negligence, but recklessness.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
child endangerment.
Yes. A reasonable and prudent person should be able to assume that if you put in a fully automatic weapon in the hand of someone who has a wrist the size of a toothpick, that when they fire it, someone could die. And that's kind of the definition of recklessness. You should know there's a good chance somebody could die if you give it. So I think that there's no doubt that in our society, politically, the local jurisdiction probably won't go after the person because, the gun nuts will probably, NRA will freak out and they'll figure it's opening Pandora's box because they probably figure that, you know, a 10-day-old infant should be carrying a fully automatic weapon.
When Deborah Harrell brought her child, and this was reported, and she served, like I said, 17 days, Fox News reported it, and there was a huge discussion on the blogs about helicopter parenting and how dangerous it was for a 9-year-old girl to be out in the world alone. Of course, this mother has very limited income. She brought her girl to the McDonald's for several days, but the girl wanted to go out and play, so she let her girl go out and play. Like I said, she was arrested. They accused her of abandoning her child. They accused her of child endangerment. All in your state, where you are now, Garland, South Carolina.
Oh, goodness.
And yet, the girl with an Uzi. By the way, I have to say, and I thought I knew a lot about gun regulations, I know that fully automatic machine guns have been banned in the United States since the 1930s. I didn't realize there was an exception, which apparently there is, for shooting ranges. And Arizona.
No. You must get a federal permit in order to own fully automatic weapons.
Right, but the owner was the shooting range. It wasn't the little girl.
But my understanding is it's not hard to get, but it's very expensive, like $7,000.
Well, okay, so the shooting range owned it. Under Arizona law, you can be as young as 8 and shooting these military weapons. 8.
Mm-hmm.
Shooting an Uzi. I mean, I don't know that an 8 should be shooting any gun, frankly. What if the kid is, if you're 8 years old, You may not quite understand the difference between fantasy and reality. There are plenty of 8-year-olds that will, you know, certainly believe in Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny, and not knocking that. Those are harmless fantasies. But, you know, you have this gun in your hand. What's to stop you from pointing it at your own head and pulling the trigger, or pointing it at your parents and pulling the trigger? It's, I mean, we have so many video games and so many places where you go and you actually pull a fake gun. We have water guns and so forth. You know, it may be hard for an 8-year-old to quite comprehend the danger of this weapon in their hand. I don't think 8-year-olds should be handling guns at all under any circumstances.
No, absolutely not. And we're going. So what we're looking at is a problem with our society, and it's a problem, you know, that is going to, you know, we're just going to have to, we're going to keep getting this until we wake up, until we decide that we don't like these kinds of things happening, that it's not worth it. Then this is what we get.
This is
what we get over and over and over again. And people like you and I look at it and we think to ourselves, how stupid could we be? I mean, there are certain things that you think to yourself, I just wouldn't do. You know, I can't see you and I walking into a cave in the winter and I say, hey, Mark, look at that. There's a sleeping grizzly bear.
Yeah, let's not wake the bear. Hey, go.
I say we go over and poke him with this cattle prod. What do you think? No.
Yeah, bad idea. We have to take
certain
a quick break.
You don't do.
Folks, if you want to call in, it's 202-588-0893. We'll be right back right after this.
The African American Historical News Journal. Own a part of history. WPFW invites you to own a part of African American history. This is an heirloom with actual articles from the 1700s through 1950. Where else can this much living history be found in one place for only $25? The African American Historical News Journal features articles about slave revolts, abolitionists like Frederick Douglass, activists such as Paul Robeson, the daily living of freed black people, and more. This collector's item is a great gift to pass down to your children and grandchildren and share with your family and friends. As part of our Thank You to Our Listeners campaign, we are offering you an opportunity to receive this fabulous 58-page book for only $25 pledge for softcover and $40 for hardcover. To get your copy, visit our website at www.wpfw.org or call our Thank You hotline at 1-800-284-1315. Don't miss this opportunity to have this compilation of newspaper articles and firsthand accounts of our nation's history in your personal library today.
Welcome back to the show. This is News Views with Mark Levine and
Garland Nixon
over there in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, talking about really two cases, mostly about this 9-year-old girl with the automatic weapon in Arizona who shot her instructor, obviously by accident. But also I want to compare it to another case where a woman was actually put in jail for 17 days, a black woman in South Carolina, for child endangerment. In fact, she faces up to 10 years in prison because she was working at the McDonald's and she left her kid alone at the jungle gym. Again, I'm not saying that's good, but compare that to the parents who let their daughter play with an Uzi, I think there's a real imbalance here. Garland, do you think that the parents in Arizona should be prosecuted?
That's a good question. I do, you know, yes, I do. From the perspective of what they did rises to the level of recklessness and reckless endangerment. However, in the context of American society and how stupid we are when it comes to guns. Well, no, this is just a normal little American. You know, the woman in South Carolina, if she'd have left her daughter with like a loaded 9mm Glock to protect herself on the playground, they'd have probably given her a medal. Citizen of the Year award here in South Carolina.
Yeah, maybe so. I'll tell you this, though. Of all the people, and you never wish anyone, any innocent person dead, but of all the people who were most at fault, I think the person most at fault was the range and the instructor. I mean, the parents come to the range. The guy says, it's perfectly safe to have a 9-year-old shoot an Uzi. And, you know, the parents say, okay. So, I mean, I would go after the parents, but really the range. I want to go after the range. I want to take their license away. I mean, the guy's dead, so you can't really go after the instructor, but he's just working for the range. He's just got a job to do. Let's take their license away. I'll tell you what, let's sue them for the damages, and make them pay for all the costs, I guess, and maybe some punitive damages as well. And if that multi-million dollar verdict puts them out of business, you know, I'm fine with that.
Well, you know, of course, you know, look, you're thinking like a lawyer.
True.
Let's talk, you know, talk kind of the lawyerly talk. You know, you wonder about the family of the guy who died, and if this is in some way actionable through either, you know, through the if the family of the, maybe can go after the rain.
Well, I'll tell you why, as a lawyer, I think the family would have trouble. The reason is when you sue for wrongful death, you actually are suing in the name of the victim. If someone is killed by someone, the family sues in the name of the victim. In this case, the victim, the instructor, was at fault. I mean, again, you hate to fault someone who died in such a gruesome way, but, you know, he didn't hold the gun. He knows the gun. He knows it recoils. He knows he's dealing with a 9-year-old girl. I mean, don't get me wrong. He paid for this mistake with his life. So I certainly think he's paid his dues, but he should have known. I would never advocate giving an automatic weapon to a 9-year-old girl, but if I were going to do so, I'd be holding the gun very, very tight down so it didn't recoil and shoot everybody. So,
well, one of the things I noticed, as you know, I was...
it's contributory negligence. That's why I think they'd have trouble with that case.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I was a police officer for years, and I taught all this stuff at the academy. And the first thing I noticed was this. You don't stand beside someone who's firing a gun.
Yeah.
You stand behind them. He was, you know, downrange, basically.
Although, even so, you know, the gun could have easily just flipped out of her hand. In fact, it looks what was happening. I've watched that clip several times, and they only show the 2 or 3 second, not even, the half a second before she shoots him. So it's unclear exactly what's happening. But it looks like the gun is literally flying out of her hands, in which case, even if he were behind her, it wouldn't have helped him any.
Unless it's spun all the way around. But whatever the case is, but from the perspective of negligence, he was standing beside her, and he should have been standing behind. You always stand behind someone that's shooting, so he made an error. But the bottom line is, it was, you know, one of many errors. The main error being putting a machine gun in the hands of a 9-year-old girl. Well, maybe it's just you and I, Mark. Maybe we're crazy.
Maybe listen, Arizona is the desert, and a lot of people have a lot of guns there. It's Arizona gun shops largely that have funded the drug gangs in Mexico. They've largely funded the gangs in Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras that have caused all these kids to run to our borders. This is Arizona culture. Arm the world. I guess they want to arm 9-year-old girls young. I mean, I don't know. States' rights, right? Let Arizona decide.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing about it is, you know, it brings so many cultural questions to the forefront. You know, I think that's the biggest thing. And particularly with
the culture of guns.
Yeah. The level of violence that we're seeing now, because, you know, there was a time. I mean, if you think about 25, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, whatever the case may be, there were less shootings. But what you had was you had guns that were, you didn't have all the semi-automatic weapons like that you have now that can, you know, even not even on fully automatic, they can fire a couple rounds a second.
Sure. I can move my finger at least 3 or 4 times back and forth, my trigger finger in a second. So
yeah.
That's 3 or 4 bullets right there.
So what we're having with advanced technology now, we're having weapons that are much more dangerous, that are much more lethal, that are designed. And this is the thing is, people talk about it like we're talking about, as we said, collecting stamps or something. These are machines that are specifically designed to kill as many human beings as possible in the shortest amount of time. And they are extremely effective at that.
Well, they are. And in fact, one of the things they sell is cop killer bullets or armor-piercing bullets. I mean, people wear body armor. They wear a bulletproof vest for understandable reasons. But now we sell weapons. You can buy over the internet. You can go and pierce a bulletproof vest. I mean, again, I don't know why we're not letting kids drive tanks and fly F-16s. If we're going to go this far, we might as well just all go out to war every day.
Well, think about this, too. When you think about the whole issue of Ferguson, Missouri, and even people on the right looked, and when you see the pictures and you see these people with the, you know, with these armored personnel carriers, and the weapons that they have are military grade weapons. And even people on the right make the argument, well, you know, the cops shouldn't have all of these weapons because if they have them, they'll be tempted to use them in instances that are not terrorist related, that are related to members of just, you know, people in the public, which is exactly what they did and they do.
Except, so, Garland, in some respects, I can't blame the police, because otherwise they'd be outgunned. If on the streets, if we were Great Britain, UK, where guns are virtually impossible to maintain, yeah, the police can walk around with nightsticks, and the worst that happens is you get beaten. But when you've got, I know in 1997, for example, North Hollywood, California.
I remember.
Two bank robbers with body armor outarmed the police. They had better, stronger weaponry than the police. The police had to actually go into a gun store and buy stronger weaponry, and it took hours and hours, and several cops were shot. I detest the militarization of Ferguson, but I understand it in the context of not the peaceful protests, but the guns that people could otherwise have. The police feel like they've got to outgun what might otherwise exist. It's interesting. When you look at this girl, you look at the kids coming to our borders from the south, you look at Ferguson, Missouri, and even you look at ISIS. One of the big concerns of ISIS is this terrorist group. They've got American, European passports. They're going to come to the United States, and what are they going to do? They're going to buy semi-automatic weapons and go shoot everybody. There's one thing. These stories seem very, very different. Ferguson, ISIS, the immigration dispute, the girl in Arizona, they seem very different, but they actually have this one thing tying them in common. If it were not for the easy availability of these very dangerous weapons, none of the four stories would be as scary as they are.
Well, one of my points was that when it comes to Ferguson, the Rand Paul and the right many people on the right are basically saying, because the cops have these weapons, they're tempted to use them.
I understand.
Well, what do you know? So we've been saying all along, people shouldn't have these, people do not need these high-powered assault rifles in their homes, and if they got them, they'll be tempted to use them and run around and shoot someone. And now when it comes to the police, some people on the right can finally see that, but they can't, they can visually see it when you look at the, you know, cops standing around pointing at unarmed protesters with, you know, with fully automatic weapons. But when we make the point on a day-to-day basis, for individuals, well, no. Well, the cops shouldn't be armed. Like, and think about what they're saying. The cops shouldn't have these fully automatic weapons and military grade weapons, which I agree. But me as an individual, we should all have them individually, but the cops shouldn't have them.
Well, and the reason is no, it's actually not absurd when you look at what the right wing rhetoric is. Right wing rhetoric says that the purpose, and I've never bought this, but the purpose of the Second Amendment, they say, is for the people to overthrow their government when it becomes tyrannical. And so they literally want individuals to outgun the police, outgun the military, which means that every terrorist, every insane person, every violent felon gets to have an Uzi, but the cops, I guess, get only nightsticks. And that way, we have World War III. Basically, we have anarchy, but the people would then outgun the police and be able to take them over. There are people, I got to tell you, every time I talk about guns, I always get at least one caller who calls in and says the people have to have more power, more weapon, firepower than their government. And I say, you want control of your government? Vote the bums out. Voting is more powerful than your automatic weapon. But no, they actually want the people to be better armed than the police.
Yeah, because you certainly know, Mark, that if you have a semi-automatic weapon in your house, that there's no way they could fire a Tomahawk missile from 1,100 miles away and create a crater where your house. You know, it's absurd.
Well, then I need my anti-tank missile.
Yeah, it's absurd.
And I need my anti-aircraft missile. And listen, I really need nuclear bombs, because that's the only way. And if the government nukes me, I'll nuke them. And then it'll be fair, and everyone will be dead, but it'll be fair. And we'll have prevented tyranny, because everyone will be dead. It's very hard to be a tyrant over dead people.
Have you ever noticed that the inconsistency of that argument, not to stray too far, and it works like this. When George Bush or a Republican or a conservative is president, then you are a traitor if you make any statements. You know, you're not supposed to say anything against the president because the troops are in harm's way and you're a traitor. How dare you should speak against the government of the United States.
Right.
When a conservative is in power.
Right.
They said it when FDR was in power, when Clinton was in, when President Obama was in power. When a Democrat is in office, this onerous government is coming to take everything, and they must be stopped because the government is horrible.
Right.
You've got to stop the government, and then a Republican gets, oh, well, you know, the government, you know, you can't be a traitor. You have to, you know, support the president. The troops are in harm's way.
The irony is, what are we protecting here? Supposedly what we're protecting is democracy. our constitutional republic. And the whole point of democracy, listen up, right wing, the whole point of democracy is you don't need guns to get a new government. You want to get a new government? You get out and you go vote. That's how you get regime change in America. It, you know, it's worked. It's not perfect, but as Winston Churchill famously said, democracy is the worst system in the world except for all the others that have been tried.
Well, here's
so,
the problem.
So you know what? Go out. You don't like the government? Go out, organize, and vote. That's how you do it in America.
Well, I think they figured out that they'll never, they can never get a president again because not enough people agree with their absurd beliefs.
So maybe so.
I think they've come to the realization.
I'll tell you what. Let's take a quick break, and then we're going to get to all your phone calls. 202-588-0893. What are your thoughts on a 9-year-old with an Uzi? Back after this. Welcome back to News Views. I am Mark Levine here with...
Garland Nixon.
Yeah, he remembered his name. That's good, Garland. That's good. It's important to remember your name. Mark and Garland here taking your calls. What do you think about this 9-year-old with an Uzi? What do you think about gun laws in general in America? 202-588-0893. Let's start with Kenny. Kenny, welcome to News Views. Kenny, you're on the air. Kenny, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, go ahead. Tell us, Kenny. What are your thoughts on this?
I'm not getting the feedback, right?
I hope not. Okay. Hey, turn down your radio if you are.
Yeah, I'm way away from it, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Okay.
Good. No, go ahead.
You're Mark.
I am Mark, yes. I have a cold. That's why I sound hoarse, but I am Mark.
Gotcha. Not a problem. Not a problem. I agree with you in the very beginning and pretty much all the way. You guys are running neck and neck, but I think he's a policeman and you're a lawyer.
That's true.
Yeah,
ex-policeman,
retired policeman.
I wanted to see in the very beginning him drop to the ground with the hole in his head. I wanted to see all that.
They should show it. It's gruesome and it's ugly and it's painful.
They show the ugly part on us. Let's see what happened to these two little, I don't mean no offenses, but I want to see what happened to the two Caucasians. Nobody's saying anything about that.
Yeah, they showed the young man in St. Louis, the mentally disturbed young black man that was said, "Shoot me, please," and they showed him being
gunned
down.
They choked to death in front of EMTs and the police.
No, they need to show. They need to show it.
It's very racial what they're doing. I don't like that. That's the part I don't like, and that's the part where the unrest comes in. And it wouldn't be unrest if they want to be fair and justice about these kind of things. They're not, and they're not going to be. But like you said, we need to arm ourselves, defend ourselves. We can take us to get Uzis and the nukes like
well,
they
I was joking.
What we got to do.
Kenny, just so you know, I was joking. I said let us all arm ourselves, but I was joking. I don't think that's a good idea. I just want to be very clear about that.
I got you, but still, if it comes to an overthrow of the government, we need to be prepared for whatever.
Kenny. I'll let Garland talk in a minute, but to me, if you want to overthrow your government, get out, organize, and vote, and you can overthrow your government.
Well, I understand that part, but that
well, it's important.
Doesn't seem to work with us. That doesn't seem to work with us, even with Obama and a black U.S. Attorney General. That doesn't seem to work.
I'll let Garland add his 2 cents. Go ahead, Garland.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I understand where he's coming from. What we're hearing from him is a frustration, and he made a really powerful point that I didn't think about. That's why I love our callers, because, you know, you get so many different perspectives that you don't consider, and that was that they just recently, when it was a young African-American, young black man, they showed the cops filling this guy full of holes and didn't blink. And the cops came up, and he's standing there, and they shot him. It looked like 8 or 9 times.
Yep.
And it was on every major news channel.
That's true.
And with this guy, it was just too horrible a thing to ever think about shooting, you know, showing the... So that's a very good point.
No, I think they need to show it. I think they need to show it in all its gruesomeness. Thank you for your call, Kenny. Let's go on to Tesfa. Tesfa, welcome to News Views.
Good afternoon, my friend.
Good afternoon, Tesfa.
We see lots of things, and now you're telling us a 9-year-old girl killed another person. And children, when told that something is dangerous, get even more curious. And even a 15-year-old, a 16-year-old cannot handle a machine gun.
And this is a 9-year-old. I mean, obviously, she's not even a 15-year-old. A 15-year-old has some strength.
And we see lots of dangerous things, something even you cannot see, you don't want to see. And we have to rethink about ourselves. Humanity is a very dangerous creature because it has been taught at least for 2,000 years in Christianity and for 1,400 years in Islam that loving somebody just like yourself is God's way.
That's
and
true.
Not killing another killing another person is not allowed.
All true testimony. I just want to make clear, in this count, this wasn't an intentional killing at all.
Okay,
this is
okay.
It was a horrible accident.
Let me show you. Let me tell you that we have to rethink about humanity in general. We have, like, in America, there are churches every other block. In other countries, the same. Some religious institutions, just another block everywhere in the world. But
okay. We
are still too dangerous to each other.
It is. It's very, very dangerous. Thank you, Tesla.
We need to rethink about humanity in general.
I hear you. Thank you, Tesla. I want to get on to other callers. Steve. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. What are your thoughts on this 9-year-old with an Uzi in Arizona?
Okay. I've called in before. I grew up in Arizona.
Okay.
I think that the problem with liberals are they don't realize that they're dealing with a completely psychotic, psychopathic, mentally ill group of people. They want to believe that if you just kind of make a rational argument, everything's kind of going to work out. You know what? It's not going to work out.
So it's interesting. You're from Arizona, and you think these people are just irrational, and they won't listen to reason, and they won't change when they see this video.
Absolutely not. They couldn't care less. They absolutely couldn't care less. They don't. They think that they have this belief system. They don't accept the notion that any kind of rational argument resolves anything.
Okay.
And I think that this is a problem that the liberals really. I mean, I'm not a liberal. I'm a radical.
Okay.
I think that liberals have to really confront this issue. They think, that, and you think that if you make this kind of sensible argument or a legal argument or you sue somebody, everything's going to kind of work out. You know what? It's not going to work out.
All right. I hear you.
And now we have to decide how are we going to deal with this issue. So I'm leaving it there.
All right. Thanks for adding your 2 cents, Steve. Gone, you have a comment?
Sure, and let me comment on that. He brought up a good point, and that's the issue of people dealing, being able to understand the gulf between left and right, you know, between conservative and liberal or progressive or whatever it is. And let me commend to our listeners a book. It's called Moral Politics, and it's by George Lakoff, Lakoff. If you want to understand how liberal, he's a linguist. If you want to understand the difference in the thought process between, the left and the right, the liberal conservative, read Moral Politics by George Lakoff. It explains that it's not that they're crazy. It's that there is a total different set of moral values.
Yep,
moral politics.
For them, shooting an Uzi is a sign of freedom. I mean, it really is for them. 202-588-0893. Let's go on to Mac. Mac, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible to see accidents like that happen. You noticed there was another incident with a boy taking a gun to school loaded. It was pretty tragic as well. And he said, I don't know if you remember that, he was saying he was protecting his little brother, his 3-year-old brother, and he felt he had to take the gun to school to protect
his. How old was the boy?
I think he was in the first grade.
Oh, my God.
He was 5, I think.
Oh, my God. That's horrible.
Yeah, so he took a fully loaded gun to school to protect his little boy. So, I mean, accidents with guns are terrible, and I mean, you're not going to be able. Accidents in general are terrible. With a firearm, it's sensational. But you said something earlier that kind of just breezed by, and I just wanted to get you to clarify. You said
okay.
that gun stores in Arizona are causing mass immigration to the United States,
yes.
I think.
Yes, and then, okay, let me tell you why.
One more comment before I go.
Yeah.
Okay, all owning a gun is the ability. It's just freedom. That's what people. It's what they associate it with. I don't own a gun. I'm not a gun owner, but the ability to own a gun is freedom. Some people out in these Western states and Midwestern areas, even if they don't go vote, you can tell what they do. They go and buy a gun, and they consider that a vote as well. And yeah. I mean, when you come down to it. It is your freedom to protect yourself. There's nothing, even if you legislate away everything, the right to own even like a firecracker, people are going to have them anyway because you can't.
Well, and I would not ban all guns, and I wouldn't go that far. I don't know if Garland would go that far.
No,
I would not ban all guns, but I would ban these high capacity magazines that shoot more than 10 bullets at a clip. I think that if people want a hunting rifle because they go out and hunt, you know, I don't hunt. That's not something I'm going to do. But if you're out in Montana or Arizona where hunting is common, and those states want to allow that, you know, I understand that. You know, pass the test, get it registered, and make sure you know what you're doing, and don't let kids just run around and handle these things. But I'm not trying to ban all guns. I want to make very clear on that.
Yeah, and I would say I think the issue is not so much banning guns as having at least some reasonable restrictions and, you know, some reasonable regulations. I mean, we've got one side, if you want to use that word, that basically says there should be absolutely no restrictions, and any restriction is a violation of the Second Amendment, as opposed to some reasonable restriction.
By the way, I do want to answer Mac's point about the immigration. The main reason that the kids are leaving Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador is because of gang violence down there. There are other reasons. It's poverty, too. But a lot of it has to do with violence by drug gangs using these very, very powerful weapons that they buy easily, yes, in Arizona gun stores, also Texas, but mostly Arizona. And they go and there's guns go across the border, and 10,000 people a year now die in Mexico. We never talk about this. 10,000 people. We focus on all these conflicts a world away, which are important. We never talk about just south of our border, the people, innocent people that are dying because it's so easy to get guns right across the border in Arizona.
And the other thing is this, when you talk about, you know, the American, uniquely American thing, idea of equating guns with freedom. Would you say the people in Canada or Great Britain?
Yeah, are people in England less free?
They're just as free as we are, except, of course, they've got universal health care. You could argue they're a little bit more free.
Hey, Garland, I looked up the statistics. In 2014, do you know how many people the English police killed with a gun?
Three.
Wrong, zero.
Oh, zero. My bad.
Zero. Last year, the year before, 2013, they did kill one person with a gun. So that was infinitely worse. Of course, we have, dozens of incidents in any middle American city, much less in the whole country. Let's go to John. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I do want to start out by saying that, you know, I've been hearing what you said, what some of the other callers have said. I think that there's a lot that you can put down to cultural differences at different parts of the country, but I do think that it is pretty outrageous. Despite the fact that this has been a tragedy, this man has lost his life and everything, I do think it's kind of outrageous that there's in all likelihood not going to be any real consequences that come to the parents of this girl. And I think that that's outrageous because, you know, as we stated earlier, I mean, there are black parents in this country who are being denied the right to see their children because they're $100 late on child support payments and whatnot. So that's completely ridiculous.
Right. I mentioned the woman in South Carolina who was put in jail for 17 days because she works at the McDonald's and she left her girl at a park nearby,
exactly, unattended. Park.
Right. Very different from a newsie. Exactly. But go ahead, finish your point.
Well, my other big point that I wanted to make was, you know, you're talking about the right and, you know, the whole guns equals freedom kind of thing, and, you know, that there's really, you know, there's kind of an American cultural mythos of armed revolution because, you know, we are, in the scheme of things, a fairly young country, and, you know, it's really being exploited, I think, by a lot of, you know, the people on the right, as you said. But what I think, you know, the so-called left, if you want to get into, you know, the left, right, Republicans, Democrats, whatever, I mean, we can't have a real conversation about guns until we talk about the fact that we are arming the world.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think it's important. That's why I mentioned what was going on in the South, because we never talk about the consequences outside the United States of U.S. arms. And then we complain about all these kids coming to our border, and we say, you know, why don't they just go home? Well, we kind of ruined their homes, so they're here. Garland, you got a comment?
No, but he made a good point, and that is the issue of international arms shipment. I mean, and it's, again, it's our culture. You know, we if you remember the Iran-Iraq war, you know, we basically targeted the Iranian troops for poisonous gas attacks from Saddam Hussein while we were shipping missiles to Iran to fire back at Iraq.
Right.
You know, so we basically were constantly arming people, and now we're getting to a point, if you look at ISIS, where people, we've thrown so many weapons out there that there are people who don't like us who have our own weapons to shoot back at them.
It's pretty scary
stuff. We are a militaristic kind of armed society. Everybody should be armed sooner or later. Everybody's armed, the good guys and the bad guys.
And apparently the 9-year-olds, too.
Yeah, well, yeah, the kid.
The number is 202-588-0893. Let's go to Mary. Mary, welcome to the show.
Hi, how's everybody?
Hey there.
To answer your question, it was horrible, and I think it could have been prevented. That's a bad parent. They should have been arrested. I mean, you can't even join the military until you're over 18.
Right.
I mean, but you can go, a 9-year-old can carry and can go and practice shooting an Uzi. She doesn't have the body strength.
That's right.
For the recoil. And the parents should have known that. I just don't understand it. But the only way that's going to stop, that's a preventable accident. The man should be still alive. Maybe he should have thought about, no, she's not ready. It's got to be a point where somebody has to stand up and wear the pants, put the belt around tight, and say, look, we have to change this, but you can't change the laws in a gun-toting society. We're the Wild Wild West, and we always will be. We're going to have to probably inspire. If that's the only thing you can change people, is you inspire them, and it can't be slowly. We have to really do it with, you know, messages from the media can play a great part, but right now the media wants to be the enemy right now.
Well, that's why we're talking about it, and that's why I hope every person in the Wild Wild West of Arizona watches the full video, not just the part where he's teaching her how to shoot, but the part where she actually shoots him dead. I think they need to see it. I think people need to wake up. Garland?
Well, you know, I'm in South Carolina. One of the first things I saw in South Carolina, I saw this pickup truck with a bumper sticker, and it was an older guy. He had his VFW sticker, he had his Vietnam vet sticker, and he had this big bumper sticker that said, it had a picture of a gun with a wooden stock, and it said, the only wood stock that I had in 1969 was this one, and there was a picture of his gun with a wooden stock.
Yeah,
and I thought,
it's this pride. It's this pride in violence. That's what it is. It's pride in violence. I don't know what else to call it. 202-588-0893. Thank you for your call, Mary. Let's go on to Ramey. Hey, Eric, how are you, sir?
Mark, how are you doing?
I'm all right. What's your thoughts?
The Second Amendment. Hey, Garland, how are you doing?
I'm fantastic.
The Second Amendment. Mark, I know I get your comments on this.
Sure.
People are making the wrong argument that this has a right to bear arms, meaning they have a right to go to the store and get it.
That's right.
And the Second Amendment, as I understand it, had to do with state militias back before they joined the Union.
The Second Amendment says, and I quote, and I do know it by heart, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, comma, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. It is a modified clause. And the Supreme Court, by a 5-4 decision, has decided just a few years ago to ignore the whole first half of the Second Amendment. For 200 years, they said you have the right to bear arms in a well-regulated militia. That's why we have National Guard, State Guards. You've got the Maryland National Guard. You got the Virginia, the D.C. National Guard. Those are well-regulated militias. And the Supreme Court, for 200 years, said that that's where you have the right to bear arms, in this well-regulated militia, in case we're attacked, which is really what was for 200 years ago if we were attacked. But to have them into an individual right, that's this new concept that five people in robes just made up a few years ago, and now people treat it like it's obvious, when the obvious truth is simply follow the language of the Second Amendment.
And it doesn't say anything about guns. By their argument, if their argument, since it doesn't say guns, it says arms, you
right.
should be able to carry a bazooka. You should be able to carry anything that's considered arms. If you follow the natural logic of their argument, it would be any kind of arm.
Right, which is why it has to be a well-regulated militia and not just some going into a gun store and buying stuff. And let me say that gun range was not very well-regulated, if you ask me. Not at all.
Well, they were following, here's the sad thing, they were following the laws in the state of Arizona.
I realize that. I realize that. 202-588-0893. Let's go on to Tony. Tony, welcome to the show.
Hello. Yes, I came in a little late, but I hear you talking about the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
My question is this, though. I thought the right to bear arms was to defend yourself against a tyrannical government. Why is that
nope.
being mentioned?
That's not true. That is part of the right-wing rhetoric.
One of the founding fathers did say that. I can't think of exactly which one it was, but one of them said that your right to bear arms is to defend yourself against a tyrannical
government. Here's the thing, Tony.
And we have a tyrannical government. And here it is. We're
do you want to take up arms against the government, Tony?
Let me say one more thing, then I'll let you talk.
All right. Go ahead.
We're always being threatened with ISIS or icicle, whichever one it is going to be in America blowing us up. Why do liberals always want the American people unarmed when everyone else around the world is being loaded down with all kinds of automatic American weapons? But we in America can't have anything, and we're supposed to just be sheep for all of the terrorists and all the other guys that liberals, totally is okay with giving them arms and every kind of weapon they can possibly get their hands on.
Well, first of all, I don't know any liberals that want to give arms to terrorists. You'll have to tell me who those are, but mostly because...
Well, Obama is arming ISIS and Al-Qaeda, isn't he?
Obama is not arming ISIS and Al-Qaeda. That's silly. He's fighting ISIS and Al-Qaeda.
He's arming them to fight Syria.
He's not arming ISIS and Al-Qaeda. That is not true. Any arms that are going to a moderate group called the Free Syrian Army. You may disagree with that policy if you want. But yes,
where is there a moderate group in the Middle East?
There are very few, but there are a few. But the point that you're making about being armed at home, that's why we have police, that's why we have military, and the way to control the police and military in the United States of America is to vote for different leadership. If you don't like the way the people I've wondered about the people in Ferguson, Missouri. They don't like their police force. They shouldn't like their police force. They have a lousy police force. They actually have a lousy mayor. And I'll tell you something. If they didn't vote in the last election, I guarantee you the people of Ferguson, Missouri are going to get out and vote in this election. That's how we change the government in America. We don't do it by violence. You're never going to overthrow the government with your arms.
Let me throw this in there. And that's one of the reasons why the whole business about tyrannical governments and taking up arms against tyrannical governments for this reason. We could have 316 million different people who thought that a particular government was tyrannical or not tyrannical. So this guy comes in, and because he's not happy with Obama or whatever, well, that's a tyrannical government. We should take arms. Then Bush or Romney or whoever's in, and somebody else who's on the left says, well, that's a tyrannical government. This whole idea of taking up arms against the government, the problem with it is that who decides what government is tyrannical? You end
right.
up with
that's why we have elections.
If I don't agree with the government, well, they're tyrannical, and I should be able to take up arms with them as opposed to abide by the Constitution and vote. And if I lose, even if I think they're tyrannical, guess what? I didn't get enough votes to win. We've got people here who scream that the government's tyrannical because they can't get enough people to agree with them. President Obama won. In fact, he blew the Republicans out 2 times in a row. How can that be a tyrannical president if he beat you twice in a row? Apparently, more people think he's not tyrannical than think he is tyrannical.
You know, our very first president, George Washington, confronted a group of farmers in the Whiskey Rebellion that didn't want to pay a tax. And what did he do? He sent the U.S. troops on them. They tried to overthrow the government. So our very first president didn't believe that people had a right to take up arms against a tyrannical government. And I'll tell you one more thing. Tony was talking about the Middle East. To me, that's the problem with the Middle East. Everyone thinks that the government's wrong and everyone's going and trying to kill everybody rather than just having an election to see who should be there. Otherwise, what do you have? You have a bunch of competing militias, and that's a very dangerous society in which I don't want to live.
Mark, I hate to run out on you early, but I've got to go. I've got a date with tuna and various sharks.
Fair enough.
A few minutes far off the
go coast. Fishing. Eat the tuna, avoid the sharks. That's you go. All right, fair enough.
I'll see you next week. You'll be back next week.
Absolutely. I'll be back next week. Thank you, Garland. I still got some calls, though, that I want to address. Let's go quickly to Ike. Ike, welcome to the show.
Hey, brother.
Hey there.
I love y'all, man.
Thank you.
I look forward to hearing this because y'all get down. But hold on. Can I get a minute? I just want 1 minute.
Go ahead.
That little baby out there, that's an example of when a parent makes a child do something it doesn't want to do. Number two, when you see a child acting up, a parent has something to do with it.
Yeah, this little girl wasn't acting up. I just want to be clear. She wasn't acting up.
Hold up. Number three, when you see a woman acting up, a man got something to do with it.
Oh, I'm not going to go
there. Come on,
get down. No. I'm not going to agree with you there.
Come on, get down.
I'm not going to play. Sorry.
Think about it. Think about it.
I know. I ain't going there, but thank you for your call, Ike. I appreciate it. Let's go on to Dan. Dan, welcome to the show. Hey, Dan, you're on the air.
Okay. My name is Dan, and I'm a military veteran.
Okay.
From the Cold War.
Right. And you would never let a 9-year-old have an Uzi, would you?
Pardon?
You'd never let a 9-year-old girl have an Uzi, would you?
No, I would not let a 9-year-old girl have an Uzi, but I would teach her about it, which I did my kids. And we live in a different era where access to firearms and hunting is sort of like a thing of the past. However, being a veteran, I heard some of the comments. I'm a former nuclear-powered submarine sailor with a secret clearance.
Okay.
Access to Pentagon officials, and in 1991, when Herbert Bush announced he was ushering in the New World Order, it meant, I want your guns because I want to enslave you. And that's a fact. We have the general insurance. Hello?
Yeah, no, I hear you. I'm just not sure where to take your comment, and I do have to get to one more caller. So thank you very much, Dan. We got one last caller. Marvin, round it up for us. What are your thoughts?
Hello?
Yes, Marvin, you're on the air. You're my final caller. Go for it.
I want to piggyback on a couple of calls ago. I wasn't going to call because I was enjoying the conversation. I was going to piggyback on the call. Now, you said that this administration is not funding groups like Al-Qaeda. Okay.
Right.
Okay, but we're funding who? Saudi Arabia? We're giving them, what, $60 billion in weapons?
That's true.
We're funding, what, the Kurds in Iraq?
That's true, too.
And we're funding insurgents in Libya? Okay. So we're
not so much Libya, but you're right about the other two.
Right. But we're using that divide and conquer to basically look out for the weapons manufacturer and their strategic interest in those regions, okay? Oil or whatever, resources or whatever, okay?
I hear you. We got to wrap up, though, and I don't want to get too far in foreign policy, but I want to thank you for your call, Marvin. My problem that I'm arguing about is it's too easy for any individuals to get out and buy a gun in Arizona, bring it across the border. You know, our government's foreign policy, that's a completely different issue, but we do talk about that on News Views, and I'm sure we'll get to that another day. And frankly, with the world falling apart, it's something we do have to talk about. This is Mark Levine on behalf of myself and Garland Nixon. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you want to find out more about Garland, I know he's on Facebook, and I know his email is garlandend@aol.com. Me, you can follow me on Twitter at Mark Levine Talk, MarkLevineTalk. My website is marklevinetalk.com. In fact, I just had an argument with Sean Hannity the other day. If you want to see that, if you can stand that, you can watch that. Follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/marklevinetalk. I want to thank Bill Witherspoon behind the boards, doing such a terrific job. Next up, Robin's Place, jazz to calm us down and let us get past the horror of a 9-year-old with an Uzi. This is Mark Levine, signing off.
Thanks for listening to the just completed Public Affairs or News Program. As a listener-sponsored community radio station, WPFW appreciates your feedback, whether favorable or otherwise. To provide your feedback, even if it is regarding one of our many music programs, simply email us at info@wpfw.org. That's info@wpfw.org. Thanks.